And greetings, friends around the world. Welcome to Tomorrow's World program, where we give you the plain truth about soon coming prophetic events and what you should be doing. Are you preparing for Christ's coming government? What? A real world government coming to this confused world? Yes, my friends, and current events and biblical prophecies are swiftly moving in that very direction. You need to understand what will soon become the ultimate reality. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith describes Christ's coming government. And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, most of you have been taught that true Christianity is mainly about receiving Jesus and then going off to heaven. But is this really what your Bible actually says? I don't want to offend any of you ministers out there or you churchgoers, but doesn't your denomination claim to follow the Bible? Are you personally willing to open your mind and see what the Bible clearly says over and over from Genesis to Revelation? Open your mind. Think about things. Don't you want to know what really lies ahead in world events? Notice how Jesus taught us to pray. Turn to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. In this manner, Jesus said, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, God's kingdom is to come to this earth. It's to be on this earth, not up in heaven. And your Bible says that over and over. Notice Revelation chapter 11, Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world, not up in heaven, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Yes, on this earth. Now notice Revelation chapter 5, and beginning in verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, talking of Jesus, and have redeemed us to our God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. That's very clear, my friends. The Bible does not talk about going off to heaven as their ultimate reward. And we need to understand that. It talks about us being on this earth. Picture this beautiful earth. Beautiful mountains and valleys and seas all over the earth. Here is where the true saints of God will be, and they will be with Christ. And we will be assisting Him in setting up a government on this earth to bring genuine peace and prosperity to the war-torn, hurt, suffering peoples on this earth. But some might say, that's just back there in the book of Revelation or in the book of Daniel or somewhere like that in the Bible. They like to put down, you know, places in the Bible they don't understand. Many of these people think the Apostle Paul tells us that all we need to do is accept Jesus. And so they go around with the accept Jesus, give your heart to the Lord, invite God into your life, invite Jesus into your life. They usually say they often leave God out. Invite Jesus into your life, and that's it. And then go off to heaven with nothing to do. Go to heaven? My friends, there's not one single solitary scripture in the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation which clearly states that heaven is the ultimate reward of the saints. It's just not there. Let me explain. What did Jesus Himself say? What did Jesus teach about it? Turn to John chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus said, No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man. Yes, Jesus said, No one has ascended to heaven. That is what Jesus actually taught. The Bible clearly speaks about the kingdom of heaven, not in heaven. We talk about the Bank of Morgan. It doesn't mean Mr. Morgan swallowed his piggy bank and the bank is inside his tummy. No, it's the bank of Morgan. Of denotes control, ownership. The kingdom of heaven, controlled by heaven, not in heaven. Our reward is now in heaven, though later to be brought to this earth. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, in other words, our human body, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, a spirit body, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, our new body, which is from heaven, not in heaven. When we finally get that body, it will be a body from heaven, not that we will be in heaven. And there's quite a difference. Turn to Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Behold, Jesus said, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. Not according to if he invited Jesus into his life, but according to what he does. Certainly you're saved and forgiven your past sins by accepting Christ's sacrifice, his shed blood. Of course you are. But your ultimate reward, the degree of opportunity you'll have to serve, will be because of what you've done, how much you've overcome, how much you've let Christ live his life in you, and how much you've obeyed God and done what he said. God is not going to save people who rebel and say, I won't do what you say. I'm just saved by grace. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What does Paul say? Doesn't he say we go off to heaven? Well, we've already seen that he said our reward, our habitation, our spirit body will be from heaven. But notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, Paul writes, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Why do you go down the street to some worldly court rather than coming before the leaders of God at God's church when we're being trained to be kings and priests and becoming world government? Why do you do that? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Are you personally actually preparing for this reward? At this point, my friends, I invite you to write or call us immediately and request your copy of an exciting brand new booklet entitled Revelation, the Mystery Unveiled. This booklet will give you the specific keys to really understand the book of Revelation, the seals of Revelation, the trumpets, the seven last plagues. This booklet is exciting. So call or write today, right now, and request your absolutely free copy of this very meaningful and timely booklet. Just ask for the booklet on Revelation.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Do you not know that the saints, the true saints of God, will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We're training to rule and to govern, actually, under Christ, the nations of this world. That's what we're going to do in the coming millennium when Christ returns. And the Bible says that over and over. notice when and how this actually occurs. Turn to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided into your midst. Here's the day of the Lord, not sometime way back thousands of years ago. The day of the Lord is described in about 30 times in your Bible as the very end time when God supernaturally intervenes in human affairs and sets up His government on this earth under the coming Jesus Christ. I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of this people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Eternal, the word capital L-O-R-D, means the ever-living one, Yahweh, the one with life inherent within Himself, or the Eternal. Then the Eternal will go forth and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle. And in that day His feet, Christ's feet, will stand on the Mount of Olives. His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. I've stood on that mountain. Many of you have too. It's just a big hill east of Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west. Notice here in verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Not up in heaven, on this earth. That's where He reigns for that 1,000 years. Not up in heaven. Is He on the earth and the saints are up in heaven separated from Christ? I think we know better than that. Why does the Bible say this then over and over? And why are you being taught that you fled off to heaven to play on harps or have nothing to do? Something's going on. Notice verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Here is a great festival of God that was commanded to be kept by God's people, and they're going to be keeping it again, the whole world. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. So they're going to have to come up to worship the Lord of hosts at Jerusalem. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. Why does he talk about Egypt? Because the Egyptians and the Arab peoples have been taught that the Jews are the bad guys, and they're against anything Jewish, you see. And they're going to have to be, of course, taught differently about that. That Judah is a people that God loves, as well as the Israelites, the other 10 tribes, and all humanity. Every single human being is made in the image of God. All of you folks out there, every one of you is made in the image of the great God. And God wants you to be in His kingdom and His family. And His kingdom is His family grown great. But He does not let people into eternal life. He does not make you kings and priests and give you glory and power under Jesus Christ, unless you're willing to do what God says. It's not some empty faith, just accepting Jesus, getting a sentimental feeling and some religious revival. That's not what's involved. It's a matter of really surrendering to God to let Him rule your life. Accepting Christ's blood, of course, to forgive your past sins. And now letting Christ be your living Savior to live His life in you through the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. Then God could trust you. God could know that throughout all eternity, no matter how much power He gives you, you will do what He says. And so if the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. God's going to rebuke and chasten every son He loves, He tells us, and He does every nation the same way to teach us lessons that we all need to learn. And they shall receive the plague with which the Eternal strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations, every nation on the earth, that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the holy days that God intended mankind to keep. The world has just put those in the trash can, and they've done other things instead. But they do not try to follow what actually is taught in the Bible and what Jesus did and what the apostles did. My friends, the city of Jerusalem, as we know it, will literally become the capital of the whole world in a few years. Every people on earth will come up and look to Jerusalem where Christ will be reigning. The Bible indicates this in many places, including Zechariah 14, which we just read. Now let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4. Now it shall come to pass, Isaiah writes, in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, to the house of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. What law is Jesus talking about here? Has Jesus inspired this, frankly, is the Word, the Logos? What law? I think you know they didn't have cars and trucks back there. They weren't talking about laws about the donkey carts. No, not traffic laws. The law of God, the great spiritual law that God talks about continually through the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, and the law that Jesus talked about, of course, when he said that you're to obey the Ten Commandments. A young man came asking him, what must I do to be saved? Matthew 19 and verses 16 and 17. He said, if you would enter into eternal life, keep the commandments, plural. And then Jesus began to name some of the Ten Commandments. And James tells us in James 2, verse 10, if you break one point of that law, you break them all. You've broken the law. He said, if a man does not commit adultery, and yet he murders, he has broken the law. He is a lawbreaker. So live as those that will be judged by the law of liberty, the Ten Commandments, James explains. That's how a true Christian is to live. That is the law, that is the way of life that will be over the whole earth. All men and all women of every nation, every clime, every background will be taught to obey, not in the letter alone, but in the spirit, the attitude, the Ten Commandments, telling us how to love God, how to love our neighbor, a whole new way of life will be extant all over this earth. And that's a wonderful thing to look forward to. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. God hates war. War is terribly destructive. It not only destroys other human beings, their very lives, it often destroys their families. It teaches the attitude of hate. Whole cities and nations and vast areas of the earth are destroyed and polluted. War is a horrible thing, the things it brings about. And so they're not going to learn war. They're not going to learn that whole way of life of hate and competition and so on. A real, genuine peace and prosperity lies ahead for everyone in tomorrow's world. Picture the starving millions, though, today in India and Africa, in the Middle East and elsewhere. You see it on your television. All over this earth, there are literally hundreds of millions right now that don't have enough to eat. And they're being tortured and beaten down by dictators and demagogues. And they're suffering. And war is going on. When Christ's government is fully set up, they will starve no more. This is reality, my friends, and this coming kingdom of Christ on earth has been described in your Bible for thousands of years, and yet most of you haven't heard very much about it. You need to ask yourself, why? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 36 now, verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the eternal God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And then he shows how he's going to bring Israel back from slavery. Not just the Jews, but the whole house of Israel, which today, my friends, includes the American and British descended peoples. I will take you from among the nations, gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from your idols. Our land is filled with literal idols, plus all kinds of idols that we have made, in a sense, such as automobiles and television and the things that we worship rather than God. And he says in verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone, the hard heart, out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Spirit. Finally, the whole world will be offered God's Holy Spirit. That's not happening today, but then it will. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Yes, the statutes of God, which expound the Ten Commandments in the letter and telling us in detail how to love our neighbor. If you have a flat roof, put a railing around it so people don't fall off. And all kinds of things it tells you that are just sensible, but they are the way of God that will be spelled out in tomorrow's world under Jesus Christ. He's going to teach us to walk in His statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God, and I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. He says, you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Verse 31. That's what Christ says. You're going to really repent, He tells our people. And so He shows how there's going to be a real second exodus. The people are going to come back again to the land. The first exodus, way back before Christ, of course, was a forerunner. And the exodus of 1948, where a very few Jews came back proportionally to Israel, that was a tiny forerunner of the final exodus. He said, then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves. Be ashamed and confounded, O house of Israel. He says in verse 34, the desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. Now, the state of Israel is better than the barren desert it had become, but believe me, it's nothing like the Garden of Eden today. And I think you know that if you've been there. My wife, when she first went down there with me, and I'd been there before, she said, Rod, she said, this is a pile of rocks. I said, well, you know, it's not that bad, honey. They've done a lot with it. But it's certainly not like the Garden of Eden today. And the wasted and ruined and desolate cities are now fortified and inhabited. Notice verse 36. Then the nations which are left around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. The nations around Israel don't know that today, my friends. You know that. They're attacking. They're constantly harassing modern Israel. And it's a terrible situation over there going on today. No, when the real second exodus occurs, that is not going to happen. They will know there is a real God and that He has brought back not just the Jews, but millions of others from the house of Israel, apart from the Jewish people, as well as many more millions of Jews themselves will come back to that land, which will be greatly expanded. Chapter 37, verse 21, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations where they've gone and gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. One king shall be over them all. They shall no longer be two nations anymore. And he says in verse 24, my servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd, and they shall walk in my statutes and my judgments and do them. Yes, King David will be literally resurrected from the dead and given his old job back as king over all tribes of Israel, all 12 tribes under Jesus Christ. Will you be there to assist King David and to assist Jesus Christ, who will rule as King of Kings? Again, call now to request your free copy of this powerful booklet entitled Revelation, the Mystery Unveiled. Finally, my friends, make sure that you start preparing right now for the real future which is promised for all true Christians. Get ready for Christ's coming. Get ready for His government on this earth. Get ready to assist the living Christ in ruling this earth and teaching all humanity the true ways of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, Jesus is speaking, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, as I also received from my Father. So Jesus is going to rule as King of Kings, but we will have the opportunity under Him to be kings and priests on this earth, as we just read back in Revelation 5 and verse 10. So learn to be a real overcomer Learn to overcome your own human nature, your selfishness and vanity and lust and greed. Overcome the world and its pulls. Overcome Satan, who's constantly trying to confuse you and deceive you and upset you. You've got to overcome and serve the great God. My friends, you've got to learn to really follow Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20, where the Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of, not just faith in, but faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let Christ live his obedient life in you. He obeyed his Father's laws. He set us an example that we should follow in his steps. He's to live within us that same life, walking with God, serving God, obeying God, letting God rule our lives as Jesus did, and therefore preparing ourselves to serve under Christ in the coming government of God on this earth. Again, call now to request your free copy of this powerful booklet entitled Revelation, the Mystery Unveiled. And tune in every single week to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, and I will give you understanding of current events, real understanding of what's going on, and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.